Welcome to Foundry United Methodist Church. We are glad to see everyone here. This is Juliana Lynn Vock. She is 2 months old. She is the beautiful daughter of Dan and Mariana. Wave your hand. She will be baptized coming up once we get it scheduled and everything organized. Oh, sweet pea. Hi. We love Juliana. She is already a part of our church. You love this back. She is already a part of our church community. Friends, we welcome you. Our worship service today is going to be some of favorite hymns of Foundry and in the Christian church. We will have some meditations, and we will join in singing together and giving honor to God. We pray that the worship service that we offer to God on this day might not only glorify God, but will strengthen you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. On behalf of our senior pastor, the Reverend Ginger Gang Sorelli, all of our clergy, and all of our staff, we welcome you in God's Spirit.
As we celebrate the art of music ministry today, let us take a few moments to explore a little deeper the insight and faith of those who were inspired by God to bring us these songs which fill our lives with the Holy Spirit this day. Standing on the promises found on page 374 in the red hymnal, written by Kelso Carter in 1886, is our first hymn. Russell Kelso Carter was born November the 18th, 1849, in Baltimore, Maryland. He was brought up in a strong Christian environment. He struggled with a personal decision for Christ until he was 15. At that time, he attended a prayer meeting at the Pennsylvania Military Academy in Chester, Pennsylvania, where he attended school. He committed his life to God and the Presbyterian Church, which his parents attended. He went to meetings and grew sporadically over the next few years. He was a star athlete and an excellent student academically when he graduated in 1867. He became an instructor at the academy in 1869. He was commissioned as a captain in the Pennsylvania state line and appointed adjutant to the military academy by Governor Geary. Carter was a professor at the Academy of Chemistry and Natural Sciences. While teaching in 1872, he began to have heart trouble. In 1876, he went to California for 3 years as a sheep rancher to try and strengthen his health. In 1879, he was back at his parents' house in a state of collapse. He had heard of the ministry of Charles Cullis in Boston and decided to try healing by faith. He prayed that God would heal him and then took a trip to see Cullis. He was healed, and when he returned 3 days later, he went back to work at the military academy and became a professor of civil engineering and advanced mathematics. He's quite the interesting guy. By the end of 1879, Carter was looking for more of the presence of God. He started to attend Methodist meetings. He struggled with their emphasis on the sanctification experience, but prayed about it and asked God to give him everything from the Bible he needed. He had an experience which filled him with the Holy Spirit in a new way. In 1880, he wrote the book Miracles of Healing. In 1886, he began publishing a periodical called The Kingdom. He had a strong musical ability and wrote hymns in Promise of Perfect Love with John Sweeney in 1886. One of the hymns in this compilation was probably his most famous song, Standing on the Promises. In 1887, Carter became associated with the Methodist Episcopal Church and was given a license to preach by Bishop Foss. In 1889, he He was ordained as a deacon in the Methodist Episcopal Church by Bishop Bowman. He is sometimes referred to as the evangelist R. Kelso Carter in newspaper articles of the 1890s. Over the next few years, Carter struggled with many aspects of his life, including a mental emotional breakdown, malarial fever, divorce from his wife, separation from relationships of over 20 years. He experienced bad business endeavors and in 1898 was diagnosed with consumption, or better known to us today as tuberculosis. Bacteria have recently been identified as the medical cause of tuberculosis, and a new treatment became available about the same time. Carter was diagnosed. He was healed through medical means with 90 days. What had been a potential death sentence was relieved by the medical breakthrough. Carter declared that God worked through the medicine just as surely as through prayer. He said that both were critical and necessary. Carter returned to the Baltimore area sometime in the late 1890s. There he received medical training and became a doctor, and he continued his work as a doctor until he died August the 23rd, 1928, in Catonsville, Maryland. Standing on the promises of Christ the King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. As we look back over Kelso Carter's life, can you understand why the words of this song that have been included in over 357 hymnals gave him such strength and can inspire us even today? Would you stand on your feet or in your heart as you are able and let us sing?
dawn and our call to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. You may be seated. We invite our little friends to come forward that we may have a time to share together. Come on, my little friends. Where are you? If you need to bring a big one with you, come on. Hello. I love your bonnet. Oh, my. Hello, hello, hello. Come on up here. How are you? You good? Who has a favorite song? Anybody? What's your favorite song? Oh, Twinkle, Twinkle. Well, hello there, little star. You want to sing it for us? How about we help you? Everybody ready? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Today we are singing favorite hymns of the church and favorite hymns of Foundry, because people have voted and we tallied up all the votes and the songs that are in our bulletin. Have you seen this before? This is our bulletin. The songs that are in here are the ones that people said that we were going to sing today. So we're going to sing it. You know what it is about a special song that we sing? Sometimes it makes us feel happy. Anybody sing happy birthday? Do you ever see anybody going, happy birthday? No, it's happy birthday. And everybody gets really fun, right? So some songs make us feel fun inside and happy inside. And there are some that cause us to cry and make us feel a little bit sad. But all tears are not tears of sadness. Sometimes they're tears of joy. And so we're going to be singing a lot today and learning some about the history and some reflections about the song. And you know what? The great thing is that God always can put a great song in our heart, and we give thanks for that. Can we put our hands together and pray? Gracious God, we give you thanks for these beautiful little stars among us. We pray blessings upon them, and we pray blessings upon all of our church and our families and friends. Bless us. And keep us always in your care. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my little stars, off you go. Again, we welcome you all to Foundry United Methodist Church. We are blessed by your presence. If you are a first-time guest or visitor and feel comfortable raising your hand, Our ushers are in the aisle with the booklet, All Things Foundry. It tells you more about the life and ministry here at this wonderful church. Raise your hand, and they'll give you one, or you can pick one up after the service today. We do want to know who is here. At the left end of the pew is a black folder. Please get that, open it up, write your names. For our first-time guests and visitors, there is an additional pad in there. We would like to collect some information from you so that we may have a time to follow up later in the week. Friends, after our service today, we invite you to the fellowship hall, which is right out the door to the right and up the steps. If you require access to an elevator, it's a little bit further down on the right-hand side. If you would get your worship guide out and turn towards the back, there are a lot of announcements, a lot of mission and ministries taking place. We can't announce everything, but we do want to highlight a few of them. Our bicentennial items are on sale in the fellowship hall after worship. There's an array of t-shirts and cups and mugs. We are calling this Christmas in August. Please go by and pick up a bicentennial item. LGBTQ potluck is this evening from 6 to 8 at the home of James Hatt and Robert Hernandez. There is some information and directions in the bulletin. This month we are celebrating the art of music and ministry. We are celebrating through spirituals, traditional hymns, contemporary selections, bluegrass, and taze. Today is our hymn sing, as we've mentioned. Next Sunday, we will sing spirituals at our 9:30 service, and Robert Ray's Gospel Mass will be featured at our 11 o'clock service. On August the 23rd will be one of my favorites, bluegrass, at both services. That's what I'm talking about, 9:30 and 11. I get a double dose. Friends, Foundry's annual family camp is coming up Labor Day weekend. There's a full page in the worship guide for you to look at. If you are interested in going, there's information, as I mentioned, in the bulletin and also on the website. Registration forms are available also at the front desk. We invite you to please be in touch with Ken Nesper and Chris Matthews as they are helping to lead this effort. And friends, we need lots and lots and lots and lots of volunteer help with this. Servant leaders to come and to help make this a wonderful experience. So we ask that you would please help out and attend the family camp. Our bicentennial homecoming celebration is September the 13th. We will have one worship service at 10:15 a.m. You know that we're welcoming Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton and Chelsea Clinton back to Foundry. They are going to be our guest speakers. We have one worship service at... All right, make sure we pass that word. We know that it's going to be a crowded service. We invite you to come early. Friends, as we transition to a time of prayer, we ask that you would keep our lead pastor, Ginger Gangsterelli, in your prayers as she, after attending Reconciling Ministries Network with Pastor Ben and some other of our wonderful Foundry folk. She will be making her way a little bit deeper in Texas to visit with her family. We have experienced a death among our church community. Susan Marquis' mother, Rosalie Kennedy West, died on Thursday, August the 6th. She was 92 years old. Susan sings in our 9:30 choir, Jubilate, and in this choir. And Roland, again, we ask that you would convey our deep prayers and love to Susan and your beautiful children. In hospice care is Thomas Daniels' cousin, Wanda Daniels. In the hospital is Florence Brown. And facing surgery this upcoming week, actually tomorrow, is Sonny Branner. Friends, we know that you have people and situations in your hearts and minds. Our kneeling rails are open. You are invited to come and to make your petitions known unto God. We will sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. After that, I will come and I will have a prayer and invite you to join in closing our prayer time with number 7 on the Lord's Prayer card in front of the pew rack. Let us be in an attitude of worshipful prayer. Thank you. this day and the wonders of all of your magnificent works. We give you our thanks and praise. God, it is written, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. And so we, your humble servants, gather in this your house of worship to give you praise. God, as this song is playing and as the words were singing from forth from our lips, I'm reminded of the one who penned these words. This song came out of a deep source of pain. The pen writer had experienced two significant deaths in his life, and he dedicated his life to your service. He could have turned another direction, God, but he knew that Jesus, despite his significant death, he knew that Jesus was his friend. And so he wrote this to honor Jesus. And so, God, we pray that you would seal these words in our hearts, knowing that even those of us who find ourselves seasoned in the spiritual journey, that when things happen, and they will, death will surround us, destruction will surround us, devastation will surround us, and we may, God, feel like we don't have a friend to turn to, but there is Jesus holding us in his arms. So we thank you for that. God, I pray your blessings upon folks who are indeed experiencing death and devastation in their lives, brokenness in their friendships and in their partnerships and in their family circles, in their church, God. We have people who are still sleeping on the streets. We have people who are still trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from. We have people, God, who are still searching for meaningful employment. Be a friend to them, God. Be a friend. And then, God, we give you thanks for the celebrations in our lives, for the births of babies, for the recommitments of partnerships and marriages, for people who are just happy to be breathing. Continue to be a great friend, God. But God, we as your people also need to realize that we need to confess our sins every once in a while. We haven't always been the marvelous people that we think we are. We've neglected our sister and our brother. We've turned our back on folk that need us. And my God, even the church has slammed shut its doors on some people. God, help us. So we pray that you would free our spirits and forgive us, liberate us, so that we might be your friend. Thank you for this community. Thank you for Foundry Church. And we pray that we will show ourselves worthy so that when people come, they will experience the living and breathing God among us. That in this place, God, they will know that they have a friend. Now we join our collective voices and pray them together. Our loving God, we know our thoughts are not your thoughts, yet we long to do your will. Make it known to us, we pray. Give us today our daily bread. Remind us only of what we are sure. Give us
reading today is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
I have to admit, I was a little surprised that this next song, This Is My Song, made it as one of the favorites, because maybe just because I wasn't quite as familiar with it. But once I got into researching it, I found that I understand now why it is a favorite. This Is My Song was found on page 437. This Is My Song is one of the most stirring tunes in the United Methodist hymnal. The tune is Finlandia. The melody comes from a symphonic tone poem by Jean Sibelius. Thank you. I am not finished. I appreciate it. I even went to Google and did the sound thing and tried. Not only is the spirit of the music appropriate, but the history of his composition also adds meaning. He wrote Finlandia as a patriotic offering in 1899, when Finland was under Russian oppression. The composition was performed as the last of seven musical pieces that accompanied a series of tableaus, each reflecting portions of Finnish history. Out of agitated and tumultuous opening music, symbolizing the struggles of the Finnish people, the serenity of the hymn-like melody emerges, symbolizing hope and resolution. The words of the song, This Is My Song, actually come from two different sources. Lloyd Stone wrote verses 1 and 2 in 1934 at the age of 22. He was an American public school teacher who lived in Hawaii, where he authored 10 books and a couple of children's books, 10 books of poetry. He wrote his most famous piece, This Is My Song, for its inclusion in the collection, Sing a Tune. It was during this brief time of peace between two world wars that it became a song of hope for all nations. The poet acknowledges love of his own country, but balances that with the love that others feel around the world for their nations. Verse 3, that you find in the Red United Methodist Hymnal, was authored by Methodist theologian Georgia Harkness around 1838. Born in 1891, Harkness was the youngest of four children. As a Methodist, she was personally converted in a revival as a teenager and sensed a calling to serve the church. Her family was upper middle class and progressive, thereby giving her opportunities for education beyond what was available to most women of her era. She earned a BA at Cornell University in philosophy in 1912. She taught high school for 6 years, but became restless. She wanted to do more, to serve the church, and she wanted to pursue studies in theology. So, she went to Boston University. There, she was denied entrance because of her sex to Boston University's School of Theology. She matriculated in the Department of Religion of the Graduate School and earned a PhD in the lost state of religion in 1923. For the next 15 years, Hartness taught courses in religion and philosophy at Elmira College in New York. During summers and sabbatical leaves, Hartness continued the theological education by attending Harvard Divinity School, Yale Divinity School, and Union Theological Seminary, always with the status of special student, non-degree. In 1926, she was ordained by the United Methodist Church. But get this, along with all the other women, she was not admitted to any conference and thus could not function as a minister for almost 30 years until 1956. Hartness, however, did become the first woman hired to teach theology at any seminary in the United States when she taught at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in the 1940s and Pacific School of Religion in the 1950s. You might say that Georgia Hartness was a kindred soul of Founder Church as she struggled with the discriminations of her time, and calling on God's grace, she was able to prevail. Georgia Hartness added this third stanza at the request of Marion Norris, then Executive Secretary of the Wesleyan Service Guild of the Methodist Church. This hymn was adopted as the official hymn of the Wesleyan Service Guild and was widely sung throughout the Methodist Church. It is a prayer to the Lord of all earth's kingdoms. Hartness skillfully ties the reference to earth's kingdoms to a petition found in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, on earth thy will be done. Christ becomes the central figure in Hartness' stanza as one who will unite us in service to each other and help us to learn to live as one. Her stanza ends with a personal dedication. Myself I give thee, let thy will be done. I invite you to remain seated as we prayerfully consider our own commitment and dedication as we sing this song together.
sure say amen. Originally, How Great Thou Art was a poem written in 1886 by a 26-year-old Swedish preacher named Carl Boberg. The poem was entitled, O Stor Gud. Boberg was inspired to write the poem while walking home with some friends from a church service. A storm occurred on the horizon, accompanied by thunder and lightning and strong winds. It was a magnificent sight, and Boberg found himself caught up in it. A short time passed, and so did the storm, leaving a beautiful rainbow. Boberg was home, opened his window, and heard church bells. Awed by God's majesty and this marvelous experience, he penned these words. When I the world consider, which thou hast made by thine almighty word, and how the web of life thy wisdom guideth, and all creation feedeth at thy board, then doth my soul burst forth in song of praise. O great God, O great God. The poem was published in a periodical. Many years later, much to his wonderful surprise, he heard a church congregation singing his poem to the tune of an old Swedish folk melody. 2 decades later, the poem was translated into German and then later Russian. During this time, the poem experienced many iterations, yet the original tune remained. In 1931, Reverend Stewart and Mrs. Edith Hine, English missionaries to the Ukraine, heard the song for the first time. They loved and adored the song and sang it throughout their missionary experience. Traveling through the Carpathian Mountains, the Hines were inspired by its sheer beauty. Reverend Hine rewrote the first 3 verses all in Russian. The 3rd verse was inspired while the Hines were in a Ukrainian village. He had asked their host, was there a Christian couple in the village? And there was one. So he made their way to the house. The woman who had taught herself to read was reading the crucifixion text from the Gospel of John. The Hines heard loud sounds coming from the couple's home. Guests in the home were in the act of repenting and crying out to God, saying how unbelievable it was that Jesus Christ would die for their sins, and they were praising God for God's mercy and for God's steadfast love. Not wanting to disrupt them, the Hines stayed outside. It was there that Stuart Hine wrote the 3rd verse that stirs and moves so many of us. When World War II broke out in 1939, the Hines returned to England, taking their translated version with them. After the war, they wrote the 4th verse and arranged the original Swedish folk tune to be published in English hymnals. The hymn gained popularity over the years. In the 1950s, the hymn was copyrighted and widely distributed in the United States. Its popularity grew when George Beverly Shea and Billy Graham Choir sang it at every crusade. Perhaps some of you have heard them sing that at a crusade if you attended. A poll conducted by the Christian Herald magazine in 1974 named How Great Thou Art as the most popular hymn in America. Today, it is still among the top favorite Christian hymns, and we know it is a favorite of Foundry. On a personal note, 20 years ago, I traveled with a group of friends to the Grand Canyon for the very first time. It was a beautiful, beautiful fall day, and as we parked our car, and I made my way out of the car and went to the South Rim, I was struck by God's majesty. It's one thing to see it in a book. It's another thing to see it in person. For me, it was as if God had taken God's hand and brushed the beautiful hues of the canyon. I found myself in that instant recalling the words of this beautiful hymn. I sang it. It sounded really good, friends, and I don't sing well. That canyon made me sound so good. And I wept, and I gave thanks to God for God's beauty. Friends, you're invited to remain seated if you like, but I would invite you to stand on your feet or in your hearts and let us sing this great hymn of the church. times we worship God in a number of ways, through singing, through praying, through acts of service. We also can worship God through the act of giving. It helps us to sustain the mission and ministry in which we are called to do and to be. Our ushers will come while we are singing. You are invited to give as God has so richly blessed you. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing is a traditional hymn that Robert Robertson wrote around 1757. He had a life-changing experience, and as a youngster, he was quite mischievous. His father died when he was an early age, when Robinson was an early age, and he found himself getting in trouble after trouble. One day, when he and some of his friends went to a Methodist church where the great George Whitfield was preaching, he went to cause a ruckus, to stir up things. Yet, while he was sitting in the service, Robinson felt as though the great Whitfield was preaching directly to him. This was a spiritual turning point in his life. A few years later, Robinson dedicated his life to God. 2 years after that, he penned the words of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It is a song that is so stirring and so moving to many of us. We invite you to give, and we invite you to join the choir in singing this great hymn of the church.
gifts of our money and our time and ourselves for the further building of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. As you turn in your hymnal to our last hymn, Blessed Assurance on page 369, it's really been a blessing to delve into each of these hymns of our faith. And this particular one was the tune Phoebe Palmer Knapp composed and played a melody at her home one day in 1873 for Fanny Crosby and asked, "What does the melody say to you?" Crosby replied that the tune said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Fanny Crosby then proceeded to recite the entire first stanza of the now famous hymn for the first time. Knapp was a composer of more than 500 gospel hymns and tunes. Frances Jane Crosby, blind at the age of 6 weeks, was a lifelong Methodist who began composing hymns at the age of 6. She became a student at the New York Institute of the Blind at age 15 and joined the faculty of the Institute at 22, teaching rhetoric and history there at the Institute. She was an author of more than 8,000 gospel hymns and their text under numerous pen names as she drew her inspiration from her own faith. She says that had it not been for her affliction, she might not have had so good of an education, nor so great an influence, and certainly not so fine a memory. She knows a great many portions of the Bible by heart, and had committed to memory the first four books of the Old Testament and also the four Gospels before she was the age of 10 years old. Blessed Assurance is one of the 10 most popular hymns sung by the United Methodist and is one of 8 Crosby hymns in the United Methodist hymnal. This hymn appeals to the senses in a rich way. Not only do we have a foretaste of glory, we experience visions of rapture that burst on my sight, and we hear echoes of mercy, whispers of love. All experienced through the grace of God by a woman blind all of her life. Let us be filled with God's goodness and lost in God's love as we stand on our feet or in our hearts and sing Blessed Assurance.
today. We want to thank Joshua from the choir. Josh from our 9:30 service who helped lead us. Ji Dong and our guest organist, Paula Moss. Paula Moss, would you give thanks to God? We're going to ask that you would be seated and receive our benediction. But before that, let me just say a word about our postlude. The great reformer Martin Luther penned the words of this hymn and composed the music sometime between 1527 and 1529. The hymn is based on Psalm 46, celebrating the supreme power of God over earthly and spiritual forces and the hope we have in God because